There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. And before we get to our next guest and my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap, I want to say, Larry, if you're still listening, there were some people that were, you know, were coming at you on the text line. But now I see a new movement here. Like Preston says, Larry was hilarious. There's a couple people on here. You got a fan club building. Larry, I encourage you to call back from time to time on the show because I liked it, and there's people that, you got a fan club going. So it's a good thing. And yeah, we will get back to some of the gambling talk here in just a little bit. Now we'll take it to what was, I don't know, like a high drama, maybe at a gambling vote level or more, what happened to the Mobile City Council this week. That's when we check in with my man, Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, man.
Hey, yeah, it's related to the gambling in such a way that there was a point in time where I was pretty sure nothing was going to happen,
yep.
And then everything happened. So it was kind of the opposite of gambling, where you think everything's going to happen and then nothing happens. It's great, fantastic. I love politics.
Well, it does. I mean, I tell you what, on the gambling thing, I am surprised because as of a month ago, it's not just I thought it. I said I think this is done. I think there's too big of a difference between what the Senate came back with and what the original House plan was for them to meet in the middle. Now, as of this week, it was just one vote. And Senator Greg Albritton, who will be on with me Monday, that was it. I mean, if he would have voted yes, that would have gone to the governor's desk. So it was pretty darn close. We'll see what happens the last 3 days. But yeah, Mobile City Council, and let's even go back to you and I talked about off the air, the pre-council meeting. I tell people I listen to city council meetings. I pay attention so they don't have to. I take the lick for them. But I don't think it's maybe just a couple times I've ever listened to a pre-council meeting. But I knew I needed to that day. And that thing was, I mean, before they even got to the main meeting, it was getting chippy.
Yeah. It tends to get that way when you have two very defined sides in any argument with the council, right? And this one in particular was a situation where you had three council members who were banding together to use their political strength to get something that they wanted, and you had maybe three or four others that wanted to go in one direction for sure and were okay. Let me say this. It came down to, there were two camps. There was a camp where we need to go ahead and fire Chief Prine today, regardless of what else happens. And there was another camp that was like, yeah, we need to fire Chief Prine, but we also today need to figure out if there's going to be an investigation into the claims he made against the mayor's administration. And we don't want to wait. We don't want to fire him, or we do want to fire him, but we are willing to wait on that to get what we want as far as the investigation goes. And it all...
That was leverage. Right, it was their leverage.
Yeah, it was leverage. You're using political leverage because you need five votes to fire the chief. If they don't have five votes to fire the chief, you have leverage. And so that's exactly what happened. That's a good way to put it. It was political leverage. So it got real chippy at the pre-conference meeting because, they wanted to discuss... Some wanted to discuss scope of the investigation. Others were like, we can take our time, we can slow this down. It's weird. They wanted to slow down the decision-making process, but then, when the investigation comes, maybe make it only a month long instead of 90 days. But that's beside the point. When we're talking about the chippiness of the pre-conference, is all about, do we hire a third party? Do we hire a special counsel? Do we not? Do we do an investigation now that the mayor's office has said they've sent stuff to the AG's office, or do we not? So there were definitely two sides, and so that's where you saw some of the chippiness come in from. You had, like you said off air, you had William Carroll
with the city attorney
going after it a little bit, but in William Carroll's defense on that, I actually personally, my personal opinion is that I agree with him that having Burr Foreman do an investigation into something that the mayor's office may or may not have done is a little like, since he works at Burr Foreman,
right?
It's a little like the boss at Burr Foreman saying, "Hey, look at something the client, my client may have done wrong." You know, wink, wink, nod, nod. I trust that wasn't the case because I know Ricardo, and I don't think he would go stoop to that level in any regard. I'm not saying that. I just say, if you were more skeptical of that than me,
mm-hmm.
you might have a tendency to look at that and be like, that's a little shaky. Like, why have the city attorney's law firm look into these allegations that his boss or someone that is, you know, the chief of staff or the executive, somebody who's close to him, did wrong? So that's the one thing. Another thing I think that is fair to question is, why do they only look at the one, you know, issue, the 321Z? I know they said that was the only allegation of wrongdoing legally that Chief Prime made. But I think, you know, he's talked about the Project Thrive connections and things like that. I think, you know, if you wanted to be the most transparent you could possibly be, maybe have them look into that too. So I think that there were some legitimate questions that the one side of the council had that maybe their investigation will look into that the mayor's, or that the internal investigation didn't. So there's still some questions out there.
You know, and one of the additional into all that, let's put some seasoning in here, some bay leaves in this mix, Councilman Joel Daves, who was saying, hey, do we need to do this council investigation? Is this a waste of money? It was, and he made it like a semantic or a fiscal argument that I thought was interesting, that if they found anything, they would have to kick it to the AG's office anyway. You know, I just hadn't thought about it that way.
He's not wrong, and he's typically one that, you know, doesn't probably love to spend what he would consider unnecessary money. Obviously, he tends to be more fiscally conservative than some of the other members. And then, you know, obviously he tends to be a little bit more pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, and this is gonna rub people the wrong way, I will say that when it comes to municipal government, they spend money on way more money on things that are way less important than this investigation would be. So to that point, I mean, it's not like we're not gonna fix the pothole or we're not gonna, you know,
mm-hmm.
fix the sidewalk
right.
because we investigated the claims against the mayor. But at the same point, the question is, if it is necessary, if the AG is going to look at it, I fully agree with that. And had the mayor's office maybe done a more thorough investigation into some of the other claims, I could get behind that theory. But I think with the way it is now, with them kind of only looking at one element of his complaints and not looking at some of the others, there's still questions that need to be answered, and I think the council investigation will hopefully answer some of those.
Yeah, and did they give us a timeline on that?
Yeah, 45 days.
45,
from the time
that
they hire a special counsel. They could hire, I don't think it's going to be next week. They're going to have a committee meeting on Tuesday after the council meeting, or at 12:30, I hope it's after the council meeting. I hope we don't do this thing where we, recess the meeting, go into a committee meeting and come back out again,
yeah.
like we did last week. But who knows? We might do that. But at 12:30 on Tuesday, they're going to have another committee where every member is going to be a member of the committee, and they're going to discuss the parameters more in depth of what this investigation will entail. So, I mean, you could theoretically see a special counsel being hired the following week or the week after. So you're looking at end of May, and then 45 days. So before July, or middle of July, you could definitely see a report being made public on what the findings are.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, talking to Dale Leash from LandYapMobile.com, this isn't the up or down on Prine's future. Prine is out, and Prine had said that himself. He was out. It was not, because I see some stuff on social media. They're like, oh, they'll be deciding what. Now, Prine's not coming back to the job, the way I see it. It's over, but it's these allegations made, these grievances or whatever the term was here, to make sure they're fully investigated. I think it's fair. I want the best for our city. I want to make sure that we get morale up as much as possible at the police department. I pull for the mayor doing what he needs to do to get things going the right way. I live here, man. So, but at the same time, yeah, was there something? Because if they don't answer it, it'll always be, oh, well, that thing happened. So, I mean, even on both sides, they should want to get this done and find out if, you know, what happened, if there was anything wrong or everything was fine.
Nothing other than what you said the morale issues are, but even that, this is no longer directly related to the police department. So it's not like we're putting the police department under a microscope. That's already happened.
Yeah.
We've had the Brown report. That's been done. All they're trying to do now is to answer some questions that are out there in the public and in the media, and to get them answered. I don't think that there's a negative side to that, because either they'll be answered and they'll find that nothing was wrong, or that something was wrong, and we go from there. You know, I don't know what will happen, but I don't think there's anything negative that can come out of this, other than spending what, in a municipal sense is going to be a nominal amount of money. I think that's the only maybe negative you can take from it.
How much of what happened on Tuesday and maybe going forward is also has a touch of future mayoral politics? You know, I heard.
I think.
What do you think?
Well, the mayor Stimson said it was 100% political. So, or he felt that it was 100% political as far as sort of what, you know, some of the allegations Prine was making and the people that were backing him up. And, you know, I think that mayoral politics and municipal elections will have a lot to do with this. I mean, we are just over what the election will be August of next year.
Yeah, so year from August.
Yep. You've got like 14, 15 months left before we decide who the next mayor is going to be. And Stimson has said he's going to run again. I know Prine had hinted at a run, mm-hmm. although he's ineligible because he lives in Saraland. I guess he could move in the next year, mm-hmm. right? But that seems unlikely. What's more likely is somebody running maybe right of Mayor Stimson, maybe running as sort of the, you know, pro-Prine, maybe will reinstate him as chief once I'm mayor, and having that and that campaign having some legs. But as far as anybody else that I know is running, I'm not sure. I know there was some speculation that William Carroll mm-hmm. was going to run.
What do you think about that? Have you heard? I mean, that's been in my ear about that.
I mean, there's a non-zero chance that he'll run, but I would say just barely over 0%. I think he's more focused on getting the child through college than he is running the city at the moment. So I do not think he's going to run. Just that's my gut feeling. I mean, he may run at some point, but I don't think it'll be 2025.
Let's switch to another story that read your piece over at LandYapMobile.com. I was talking about that this week when over the weekend, a name that is, if you pay attention to our city, you pay attention to veterans in our city, you know the name of General Cooper, the Major General Cooper, and what his connections from the world of just being a veteran to the world of politics, to the world of business in the city. I mean, just a big legacy.
He did everything.
Yeah, he did.
He was phenomenal. I love that man. I loved visiting with him. He was hilarious. He was no nonsense. Obviously, Marine Corps general was.
They tend to be.
Tend to be no nonsense.
Yeah.
He was great. He was loud. He was boisterous. He was a great person. Did a lot. Got a lot of firsts or near firsts for him. Had a wealth of knowledge. What else can I say about him? He was phenomenal, and I loved him. And I'm sorry he's gone.
Yeah. It's a loss there for sure. I just want to appreciate you writing what you did about him, and people can remember that legacy.
Yeah, I mean for a crash course, I mean he had aspirations to be general, they had a tendency in the Marine Corps and in the military to not let black officers see combat.
Right.
He
command
refused
troops
to allow that to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. He refused to allow that to happen. And he said, no, I'm going to see combat because that's the only way I'm going to become general. And they let him do it. He became general. It was really this hard headedness and this idea that I'm not going to stand for the status quo that has really propelled him through his career. So that's just one of the stories. There are tons of others. And some really funny stuff in a kind of an obit story that I wrote about him. Former mayor Mike Dow said, I don't think there's a person that had a bad word to say about him. He was fantastic.
Yeah, well said. People want to read more, of course. Pick up the copy of Land app and check out the website. Tell people how to get subscribed.
Yeah, subscribe at landingatmobile.com. Follow all the prompts to subscribe. It's $1 for the first month. So that really helps us out. It keeps us being able to do what we do at the level that we're doing it. So keep that up. Keep up the support. Also, would be remiss if I didn't mention that you can vote for the Nappies right now, the Reader's Choice Awards that we do every year. 300 something categories, I think. We're in the finals now, so make your voices heard, and vote for anybody but me, on our staff for best Lanyap writer.
I've been voting. I've been disobeying every day, man. This week, so
they're all phenomenal. They do much more and better work than I do. Support them with your votes.
That's that reverse psychology he's using on all of us, and it'll work. Dale, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, Sean. I really appreciate it.
All right, there he goes, Dale Leash, and we're coming right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on a Friday. I've been saying this on Fridays because it's right. It's the right thing to do. It's people make schedule things on Friday for next week, right? You're like, oh yeah, I've been needing getting around to do this and do that. And you look at the weekend, but you're going to schedule what's up next week. I'm not saying what your neighbors told me, but maybe you have some junk you need gone around the house. Or it could be somewhere else. It could be at the office. Could be a storage unit. You got stuff you need to get rid of. Use my friend Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. As we celebrated our 15th birthday this week here with FM Talk 106.5, we're 15 years on May the 1st. Trey's been doing it for a couple years longer. That means 16, 17 years of getting junk gone in Mobile and Baldwin County. You can go. That number one is a testament to the service. Number two, you could listen to what I've told you about my personal experience, what we've done with this radio station, several of us here using those services, or go to Google and go look at the Google reviews. These are people that love the service so much that they went online, took their time to say, hey, Trey and the crew were awesome. Go see their reviews as well for 1-800-GOT-JUNK and set that appointment. You could do it today. And pick up the phone. The name is the number. Give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Or you can go to their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's what I've done. And they'll find a day that works for you, a time of day that works for you. They set an appointment, and they show up at the place you got the junk. And then you walk around and show them what you want gone. They'll quote you a price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. So do it. Set that appointment for next week with my man, Trey. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. Do we have a second here to And we could get maybe some of these text in. Oh yeah, somebody had sent an unnamed texter earlier, and I sent something in about the Green Track owing $76 million in taxes. Remember that? Yeah, from Green County. There's a whole bunch of things you could make the argument, right, that why are you going to reward Legacy Dog Track, right, that have been in violation of the law and owed taxes and all these things with this bill? Because they have, I'm with you in spirit. I'm just telling you, they had the political, capital, they had the muscle. Because there's Republicans, you know, it's weird, too, to think about where we were in the 90s to now. The Republicans are pushing the bills in the House, right, and then last year in the Senate for gambling. So they're pushing the bills, but they need, because not all Republicans, some Republicans can't be swayed. They're morally a no vote on gambling, so they have to get Democrats on board. And so with those Democrats come these other interests, right? So if we're going to vote with you, Republicans, we're going to need these things to happen. So that's the way it it's the way it goes. But yeah, believe me, how many times have I asked when the attorney general's on with me? Do I go, hey, by the way, is electronic bingo still illegal? You know, and what did the Supreme Court say? And said, yeah. I'm like, okay, just checking. Because it's, you know, we've watched this time and time again. Three different governors and really no change. You have attorney generals go after it. And then they, you know, you remember Bentley saying that the local could have local referendums to say things were legal that were illegal as per the state. So we'll have, and some of these questions are going to come up on Monday. It looks like we are hopefully good to go with Senator Greg Allbritton joining us on Monday in the noon hour to talk more about that. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, Friday style. Check in with my man at LCM Motorcars, David McCrary, who, you know, David, you and I talk about trucks and SUVs and cars all the time, but you mentioned a specific kind of car that we don't talk about enough. You got a convertible drop top on the lot?
Got a couple of them. One of them is Corvette that I've been driving. It's a 2015. It's a lot, which is miles. Car that knows what I'm talking about. Tell somebody, because it's a really, really nice. And I've got a 2013 Mazda Miata convertible. It's red with a black top, black interior, and it's a one-owner car. We got a little Mustang as well, a 2016 Mustang coupe. So we got, you know, really nice sports cars. We got some new inventory just came in. We bought yesterday. And we've still got a great inventory of everything that we bought last week. So three-quarter tons, half tons, SUVs, whatever you're looking for, we got it.
All right. Well, tell folks how to come out and look at it, I guess, in person and online.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motorcars. The Miata. Yeah, I shouldn't tell this story, you know, but that never stops me. Red Miata at that. So it's my senior year in high school here. Class of 90, baby. Senior year in high school. And the new teacher comes to our school, math teacher. And she was, I don't know how she had time in her modeling career to get a teaching certificate and be able to teach math, but she did. She came the first day she gets to school, we notice she comes riding into school with the top down on a red Miata. I think I'm 17 at that time. Well, just okay, there we go. It's slow-mo in your mind with the hair blowing and the drop top Miata. And I was like, man, I'm pretty stupid in math, but I'm going to try to go get some extra time in math class. Now I'm going to rededicate myself to math. Math stuff is great. Hey, son, what's your new interest in math? I don't know. Mom and Dad, I'm just, I think math is important, right? It was a red Miata. I remember So many distinct things from that day. All right, 343-0106, 343-0106 on the text line and the phone line. Don says, Sean, I'd like to see a revision that brings back a point you made. Oh, you're talking about the lottery. Sean, I'd like to see a revision that brings back a point you made about scratch-off games to build the prison and perhaps one to build the bridge. You know, we could do that. Yeah, and what Don's talking about, my scratch-off game, because I've been pushing this since, I guess, Bentley's time, because during Bentley's time, they were talking about the lottery, right? We're doing, hey, Matt and Sims is correct, right? We've been talking about this forever. We're talking about the lottery back then. We talked about it back in 92 in Siegelman's days, but talking about the lottery. And at the same time, we were having issues with prisons. Bentley, first term of the Bentley administration, we're in this pickle that we're still dealing with in 2024. And that's when I started thinking, not only could you do a lottery thing, a scratch-off thing to fund the prison build, couldn't we make it fun? And it would be like a breakout, like the scratch-off thing. You know, they'll have different games, right? Like, which I don't ever, like I said, I'm not a particularly big, if I'm in Florida or Mississippi, I mean, I'll get a ticket and then sometimes get the $1 or $2 scratch-off thing. If I've gone to, you know, buy the actual lottery ticket, then get the scratch-off thing. Although it does get like those shavings all over your truck and pants and shirt and all that. But you take your penny out there in today's economy. It used to be a nickel, but you take a penny now to scratch that thing off. But picture this for Alabama. It would be like prison. It'd be a prison. Okay. And you'd be scratching off, trying to open up a place in the prison wall to get the prisoners out. So as you scratch, and if you connected different things, then you could have like a breakout. It'd be like a Shawshank Redemption thing. And then you win, you know, whatever the multiplier was for the prize. And then that money with the prison-themed scratch-off could go to fund prison. Don, on the bridge thing, I don't know. Do we do a... I'm not going to say that. It's too early. Do we do some kind of bridge-themed scratch-off for the state? If we're going to do this lottery thing and get all this money, yeah, let's not let it fund these things that they can't seem to get around to funding properly in our state. Even though the prison thing was funded, we went through the money so fast, right? So we had the prison lottery and, bridge lottery. And it's the scratch-off portion of it. There we go. Well, that, yeah, Michael says, how about a statewide drawdown for the prison? Because we can do drawdowns, can't we? Don't you love, this is what I'm getting at. This is why I say I don't think we have the best. Either you're going to gamble or you're not. It's all the silliness. It's like this discussion of the gambling. They'll be like, well, historic horse racing. I mean, laws get made and the market figures out a way around them. So at a certain point, it gets silly. It's like, you can have drawdown, but you can't have other things in our state. Like the drawdown's okay. Bingo's okay, but this other thing's not okay. And I don't know if the laws are the same way now, but I worked for a couple decades, I guess, about a decade and a half. Because I've been here 16 years, 17 years. But I worked in rock and roll radio for a long time, from the time I was in college and started in commercial radio in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham through when I came back home. And you'd always have a lot of, like, bar ads, right? It'd be like, oh, Tuesday night, the Pink Flamingos are playing, and you're going to have dollar long necks. And the bar person would say, hey, man, we've got a special on Budweiser or Coors Light or whatever. And then we'd have to say, well, we can't put that in the commercial because the ABC board, but we can. So the market, here's how the market figures it out. When you heard dollar long necks, it's because you couldn't say the brand of the beer and the price. You could say you have $2 beers, but you couldn't say you got $2 Budweisers. You could say they have Budweiser, but you couldn't say how much it cost. So we had to write these commercials in a way. So, I mean, it's this Byzantine system of laws here where you do them. Like, here's the thing that we want to happen, right? So we want to go from point A to point B. People want to gamble, and point B is gambling. The mental and physical calisthenics that people go through to get to that thing that they want to do is what's, instead of going on a straight line, now they're going zigzagging everywhere. Now, see, I mean, I think that's kind of what we're looking at here, what's laid out for at least what the amended House and Senate plan looks like. Some of that, it looks like, instead of being able to say we got $2 Budweisers, we got to say it's $2 long necks. is kind of what I feel on this. Maybe you're good with that. Maybe, you know, having a system where you can't call things a certain name, but if you call them something else, it's okay, right? You can't have a lottery, but you can have a drawdown. You can have a, you know, does it end up being the same thing? Jerry said on the text line, could we do historical prison escape betting? So like these historical horse races we're joking about are races that are already run. And they're trying to make it sound like you have any idea of the race. It just, you just randomly get a horse. And if the horse wins, it's just the odds of, it's a slot machine. Trying to pretend like you're watching some old horse race. It's just a way to gamble. So we could do that. Yeah, they would give you like, I don't know how many things you have on a slot. Is it four or six? You get four or six people that escape, you know, possible people who could escape from prison, and you roll it. And if your person comes up and that's actually the person that escaped from prison, you can make the money. Be on to something here. Be on to something, Jerry. I like it. Oh, and I know Jerry often asks questions. I know he's an offshore fisherman. Had some people asking yesterday and tomorrow. So let me promote another show that I do here at FM Talk on Saturday mornings. Then it runs throughout the weekend. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors with my friend Mike Ward. And our guest tomorrow morning, a director of Alabama Marine Resources, Colonel Scott Bannon, joins us with snapper season like 3 weeks away. Got questions about this year, the season, all that stuff. That will happen tomorrow at 7. So tomorrow morning at 7, join us for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So yeah, heads up there, programming note for tomorrow on the show. Okay. Did you want me to get the phone? Okay, we won't get the phones right yet. If somebody's, a gaming question. Okay, we can get to that in a second. Also, on the list of things I need to get done here before we wrap up for today, you heard Dale Leash talk about it. So voting is open over at votenappies.com. And I asked you this week, I said, hey, give us a birthday present on our 15th birthday. Do that voting over at votenappies.com for the Lanyap Awards. If you go to the media section and you look at the radio station stuff, we're all in it. And just vote for somebody on the radio station, because there's a lot of categories where it's a bunch of us that are on the station that are competing against each other. We dominate some whole categories on here. So it's a battle royale amongst the staff here. So we just would ask you to go to the media section and do that voting. And also, I continue to push the voting for my friend John Young from Men United Against Violence for the best Mobilian and also best police officer. All that is in the Nappy voting as well. So there you go. This is my ask of you on this day to get you to go and vote for us. All right. Yes. He's going to reveal. Snapper season's already set. It's opening Memorial Day week, Friday of Memorial Day weekend. But we're going to talk about the tonnage and how, you know, predictions and all that stuff and reporting and all that stuff on tomorrow morning show. So that's coming up at 7. Coming up, talk to Ed Rowan's in. So we'll talk about Camp Lejeune with Ed Rowan coming up in just a second. And reminder, too, as you head off into your weekend, the FM Talk 106.5 app comes in handy. It's pretty easy to download. All you got to do is go to wherever you get your apps. Like, for me, it's Google Play, because I'm a cool Android user. But if you're somebody who has got that Apple device, go to the App Store and just look for FMTALK 1065. That's our free app. Download it and enjoy. All right, coming right back.